ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of God. Can you repeat the translation? The devotee should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constantly hearing of the transcendental qualities Supreme Personality of Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily be fixed in transcendence in the Supreme Personality of God. This verse is especially mentioned to substantiate the devotional process of hearing the subject matter. A devotee does not like to hear anything other than subjects dealing with spiritual activities or the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. We can increase our propensity for devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized souls. The more we hear from realized souls, the more we make advancement in our devotional life. The more we advance in devotional life, the more we become detached from material world. The more we become detached from the material world, as advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the more we increase in attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a devotee who actually wants to make progress in devotional service and go back home, back to Godhead, must lose interest in sense enjoyment and associating with persons who are after money and sense gratification. This is advised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 11.8. Nishtinastasya Bhagavad Bhajan Mukhasya Param Param Digham Nisor Bhavasagarasya Sandarasanam Vishayi Naam Atha Yoshitam Cha Ha Hanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanato Piyasadu. The word Brahmani used in this verse is commented upon by the impersonalist or professional reciters of Bhagavatam, who are mainly advocates of the caste system by demonic birthright. They say that Brahmani means the impersonal Brahman, but they cannot conclude this with reference to the context of the word Bhaktya and Punavidhanena. According to impersonalists, there are no transcendental qualities in the impersonal Brahman, and therefore we should understand that Brahmani means in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead as admitted by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, wherever the word Brahma is used, it must refer to Krishna, not to the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Prishabdhate Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan can all be taken in total as Brahman. But when there is reference to the word Bhakti or remembrance of the transcendental qualities, this indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not the impersonal Brahman. Om Gyanatmirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Guru Venoha Shri Chaitanya Mahavishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kalamaya Pradanti Soya Padantikam Hare Krishna Karunam Sindhu Dinavantu Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Jati Pranamami Hari Priya Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Shubhadaya Krishna Vishnu Shiva Bhaktivedanta Swami Namah Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pujarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschal Adhishtarini. Seeking blessings of all the devotees, to glorify this verse which doesn't suit any of my qualities or desires, which is to gradually and constantly hear about the Supreme Lord. So, continuing from Sanat Kumar's teachings, to King Prithu, if you see the series of verses here, they are very nice verses, especially the purport Srila Prabhupada has given yesterday's verse and day before. And this purport particularly is so short and very sweet purport, very concise, but lot of information, lot of things can be discussed from this, just two paragraphs. Sanat Kumar is continuing to speak to King Prithu, and we see the eagerness in which King Prithu is hearing Sanat Kumar. We have a similar example in Srimad Bhagavatam where another king who is very qualified, spiritually very advanced, gives very he gives lot of attention when he is hearing another advanced soul, which is Maharaj Parikshit. When he is hearing Shukadeva Goswami and when the Bhagavatam is recited. So, seeing this example of these personalities, this verse becomes more clear to us why hearing is so important, why such an emphasis is given on constantly hearing. Prithu Maharaj, who is Sakta Vaisarta, who is spiritually, he has all the knowledge, all the information. Parikshit Maharaj, who knew the conclusions of of the Vedic scriptures, still with rapt attention, was very eager to hear. So, in the purport, if you see, Srila Prabhupada begins, because the verse itself begins by developing a culture of devotional service by constantly hearing about the Supreme Lord. In Melbourne, we are very fortunate, so many facilities to hear scriptures. Very few temples where we have so many number of people on a weekday to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then different courses of Bhakti Shastri, Bhagavatam courses, advanced courses in Bhagavatam also are there. Very rare, very rare. Few temples you can count actually. Few temples who are doing all this. Why? Because the importance of hearing about Krishna is understood. And that's the same mood, or it's the same need which we, as devotees, we all have or should have, is being given to us. So, we see example of Lord Chaitanya. It's very interesting. Lord Chaitanya, when he was traveling, after meeting Sarva Bhattacharya, Sarva Bhattacharya told him that when you travel, you will meet a very great devotee, Ramananda Rai, and you can go and meet him. And when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Rai, instead of speaking, he wanted to hear from Ramananda Rai. So when Lord Chaitanya is questioning Ramananda Rai, and Ramananda Rai is answering Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Rai is saying, whatever I am speaking, you will be speaking through me. But Lord Chaitanya is showing that full eagerness to hear from Ramananda Rai. Of course, in establishing who Ramananda Rai is, how glorious he is, but he is doing it by showing his example of attentive hearing, a very eager to hear about Krishna. Similarly, we see in Mahabharata, Bhagavatam also some part of it comes, where Vishnu-Pitama, grandfather of Pandavas and Kauravas, and he is on his deathbed. And Krishna is trying to explain to Yudhishthira certain points, and Yudhishthira Maharaj is still not getting convinced. So Krishna takes him to Vishnu, and Vishnu on his deathbed speaks. And that's one of the biggest sections also of Mahabharata. The instructions given by Vishnu Dev. And it says in Mahabharata, for 55 days Vishnu spoke. And Krishna and Pandavas were hearing the teaching went on for that long. And after that, Vishnu left his body. Krishna was there. He could have encouraged Yudhishthira to sit and hear, and then he would have gone. But he was hearing from Vishnu, who is another Mahajana, a great authority. So, as devotees, it's very important for us to identify our own attachments in terms of, we all have some attachments or more attachments, but in terms of where our heart is, at least as devotees, I very, very clearly remember, it's almost 7 or 8 years before, one time I went to Perth just to help out Jagat Haranimathji, in that place. I was just there for a couple of weeks. And one instruction which I came back was very, very helpful for me, which Mataji told me, and I tried to follow that. And still very helpful. She said that, I'll just repeat exactly what she said. She said, we all are from here. So the Prabhupada is not here, his lectures every day. So, okay, I thought, okay. It's a very strong statement, very nice instruction. So I tried to put in practice, and then every day either we will hear Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita lecture or Bhagavatam lecture or his conversations or his morning walks. So for it went on for a few years, and then every day morning while getting ready, you just put it on and you hear it. And first thing which I felt was that never I had or I experienced that relationship with Srila Prabhupada before, because now I was hearing him, his voice was very familiar to me, his style of teaching was very familiar, his devotion, I have my access to world, at least what I could understand from conversations, especially Prabhupada's conversations are just too good, it's worth hearing all of them in the whole series. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, he's still on a very serious way he presents the philosophy, but conversation For someone who wants to preach also his Prabhupada's conversation, that is worth hearing. So very helpful. I was remembering today morning that how that hearing helped me personally. And then, so as devotees, we really need to identify where our attachments are, where our attachments are in terms of our investment of time and energy. Because I was speaking to one devotee two days back, and the devotee was sharing that he was saying that after 23rd of May, my hearing and reading, especially, will improve. I thought maybe he's busy doing some work. And I asked him, "Are you busy with work? Do you have some obligations? Or do you have some family pressures? Or do you have some commitments which you are going to finish by 23rd of May? And then you will focus more on hearing and reading?" He said, "No, elections will be over in India. Because I'm so engrossed in every day going through what all the news is, who is saying what to whom and how. So once that is over, then my mind will be free. Then I can hear and read effectively more better." I was saying, okay, that's also attachment. If you're talking about attachment, that's attachment in terms of investment of time and energy. So I do this sometimes. Don't we all watch news or read news? But if that affects hearing and reading, we have to think about it. And everyone can have their own reasons of not doing it. But this was an interesting reason. So if you see the purport in the translation actually, it says that these pastimes are like ornamental decorations on the ears of devotees. So the pastimes of the Supreme Lord or the Krishna Tattva or the philosophy or the truth explaining the science of God is ornaments for the ears for a devotee. So that's attachment for a devotee. If a devotee is just attached to hear about the Supreme Lord, to hear Bhagavad Gita, to hear the philosophy. Some people may not be very inclined to hear philosophy because for them it's boring. Then there are pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. They can read Srila Prabhupada, but there is so many books explaining the lifestyle or how Srila Prabhupada did what he did. And then there are some devotees who would like to go in the pastimes of Ramayana or Mahabharata, or some devotees who would like to just hear philosophy and combination of that. So in any way, if attachment or heart is invested, time is invested in hearing, that results, and that becomes the ornament of a devotee. There is one lady called Amanda Liberty. Very interesting. This was the news I read many, many months back. So while preparing, I went and searched again and got some more information about her attachment. And this girl, she's 34, 35 year old girl. This girl has engaged herself, like engagement, marriage, before marriage engagement happens. She has engaged herself with a chandelier. And that's her attachment. Real engagement, proper engagement. Her name is not, surname is not Liberty. But as a child, she was very much attached to the statue of Liberty. So she changed her last name officially and made it Liberty. So that's. And then now she's planning to get married to that chandelier, which is from Germany. It is a 91 year old model. And she sleeps with that chandelier, so much attached, and makes chandeliers as her ornaments, decorate herself with tattoos and all. And she's not just attached to chandeliers, all objects. So she's too much obsessed by antiques and objects. This is her attachment invested in that. I was shocked. She's planning to get married to the chandelier. And she talks, "Oh, she must be feeling like this, she must be feeling like that. Oh, she's talking to me. Why? Because today she's bright. Shining more brightly. It's just electric current, which is more maybe." But so that's her vision. That's her attachment. So as devotees, that's where she's investing her heart in it. But for devotees, for us, if this one thing can be done, which is to invest or put our heart in this healing. In Melbourne, I have one of my friends. We used to tease him and always make fun of him till 10, 30 years back also. Because he was not taking the process seriously, just spending time, passing time, and just playing around. Chanting was just everywhere, reading, hearing is forbidden, reading forbidden, doing some service, you cannot ask him to do service because 10 excuses will come, you also get fed up. But one good quality he had, he would like to hear lectures. And even that time I remember appreciating within my mind that, oh, that's a good quality he has. He would hear. Every day he would hear 1 to 2 hour lecture. Every single day that devotee would hear. A certain speaker and then later that devotee became a spiritual master. Whom he was hearing every day. He was just too attached to hear. And now he's so well situated as a devotee. Like really nicely he's doing as a devotee. You know, we could see that time, and this was the only quality I remember personally appreciating about the devotee. He just likes to hear lectures. Not even Bhagavatam he would come and sit, but something he would hear every day, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever. Not the perfect example to follow, but I'm just saying the potency of hearing. So one day there was a person who could not digest any food. He just could not contain any food with him. Anything he would eat, he would just have to go and just pass it out. And because of that problem, he was becoming weaker and weaker. And to that stage he came that he was practically on his deathbed because body could not contain any food at all. So they took him to an Ayurvedic doctor as a last resort. Allopathy medicine didn't work on him. So they took him to the Ayurvedic doctor, and the Ayurvedic doctor suggested the relatives that give him 3 spoons of ghee 3 times a day. And the family got upset on the doctor. He can't digest, and ghee is the hardest to digest. It's very hard to digest ghee. And he can't digest simple boiled lentils or some plain simple rice, he can't digest. He said, no, you give him 3 spoons of ghee 3 times a day, have faith on me. So the family tried for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they saw this person gaining some strength. Very slowly, but he was gaining some strength. So they were visiting the doctor, and the doctor explained what is actually happening. He said, I also know he cannot digest ghee. But ghee naturally sticks to the system. Very slightly, slightly. And that ghee which will stick to the system will gradually give you some strength because it stays in the body. So when we just hear, many times as devotees we complain, I used to complain or still complain that I don't remember what I heard or what I read. But we'll be shocked that when we are in need, we'll retain exactly those points which we heard in a lecture or we read in a book. Because it just, we may read or hear and after 5 minutes we can't remember anything. That should not discourage us from hearing or reading. That's the point. Because we retain it. To some percentage we retain it. Of course, best is to make notes or to summarize it in ourselves what we read and then to tell it to someone, then it becomes very solid, those points. Many devotees do that. You know, as soon as they hear some good lecture, they just come and warm it to someone else. The idea is that they retain it more, what they heard. And the other person also will also retain few percentage of what he said. So some devotees have done this to me, and I said, one time I was in Mayapur, one brahmachari came to me, he started telling me, he just called me to come here. I don't even know him properly. He called me, he started telling me, 5 minutes he spoke to me, he said, okay, go. I said, what happened? We used to see him as a very senior devotee. Oh, I was so thankful, I was so happy that he is talking to me. But after constantly speaking for 5 minutes, he also reached out to go. Then I went to another devotee and said, what did to me? What was that? And then he took me to the devotee. He said, please explain what you did. He said, I just read something and I wanted to speak so that I retain it. And I still remember exactly what he told me. He was actually telling me how through rain the living entity comes through the male body to the female, however through the brain the soul is transferred. I very easily remember this is almost 12-13 years back, 12.5 years back. So he retained, I also retained, because that impression was very strong on me. So very important. So if you see in life of Srila Prabhupada, so many, we all know so many yogis or swamis, either they came to the Western world or even in India, who tried to give this message of Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. But hardly they could make any difference. Hardly they could make any difference in terms of changing or making people devotees of Krishna. When I was standing outside the courtyard, and one boy was watching at the notice board, so I started talking to him, and I didn't realize that he very rudely he would reply to me, and so he was not least interested to talk to me, and then but I was trying to just be friends with him and speak to him. There was a Prabhupada's photo, and I just started talking to him about Prabhupada. That irritated him even more. He was so upset, and he started telling me what this. I would see him coming to temple regularly. He would just come sit there, open one of the books, and start reading. And then we started talking, and then I said, do you know who Srila Prabhupada is? He said, I'm not interested. I said, no, you come into temple, right? At least. And then we became a little softer, and then we started talking. And then I told him one point we were discussing, that how many devotees of Krishna has any other Bhagavad Gita made in throughout the world? And that caught his attention. That's the reality. That's true. How many people have become devotees by reading any other Bhagavad Gita than what Srila Prabhupada has written? So, what Srila Prabhupada has given through Bhagavad Gita and what has changed the lives of so many people is actually, Srila Prabhupada himself says that my purports are my ecstasies, which are in written form. Many times we hear from devotees that when we are reading Bhagavad Gita, we are actually hearing Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Srila Prabhupada spoke and dictated, and then devotees later typed it. But if you go through the purports, and if you hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, and if you transcribe those lectures, that itself, if you read it, it appears to be purports of Bhagavad Gita or certain verses. So very substantial, very, very substantial. Like this purport and the last purport, if you read, they're so substantial. You know, if very slowly, you know, very rhythmically, you just start speaking the purport, that itself becomes a class. So you don't have to present any examples or anything, because Srila Prabhupada is very substantially given. So, what happened by Srila Prabhupada doing is, there is a nice verse in Mahabharata, you know, Chaitanya recites, he's glorifying. That verse is very popular, many of us have heard that. Tarko Tishtha Sutaya Vidhinna Nasa Vrishiriya Samatam Na Vidhinnam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhaya Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta. Lord Chaitanya says that dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from other is not considered a great sage. And simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The main point is here, the solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. So the hidden truth of scriptures is there within the heart of a self-realized person, and when we hear from them, when we hear them speaking, that same truth becomes a reality. May take some time, may gradually happen, but that purifies a devotee. We sometimes, many we sitting here speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita has some effect, or can have some effect on the audience, because we try to stick ourselves and repeat what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam purports of Srila Prabhupada is saying, or what his pastime, or what he has taught us, we just repeat it. If a devotee starts to think, because I'm speaking and others are hearing, and that's having an impact on the audience, If he thinks as an independent speaker, then just see yourself before a devotee. Who was interested to hear you anyways? No one was interested to hear us, hear our opinions. But now we may sit and 50, 100, 200, 500 people may listen to us because we are speaking the message given by someone who has, whose religious principles are hidden in his consciousness, in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized soul. And that gives, may give some strength or some effectiveness when the audience is hearing, because we just try to repeat what this self-realized great soul has spoken. So, many times Srila Prabhupada would tell his guests, oh, you see my young boys and girls, disciples from America, Europe, Australian disciples. Their qualification, they have become so different, they have changed so much because they are hearing very nicely. They are hearing very nicely. Srila Prabhupada would say that, look at these girls and boys, they hear very nicely. And we know from Srila Prabhupada's own example that he was specifically recognized by Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, his own spiritual master, just because of his attentive hearing. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj recognized, oh, this young boy, he likes to hear. And Prabhupada comments in Lilamrita, if you read, he says that I could not understand everything what my guru was speaking. In his humility, Prabhupada would say that what my spiritual master was speaking, I could not understand everything what he was saying. But I would sit attentively and hear. And that itself became a point where his guru recognized him, oh, this boy, he hears very attentively. He's very attentive and listening. Very important, very important. As devotees, if this one quality is developed, all other qualities will follow. And that's why so many Bhagavatam verses are just directing towards this one particular point of hearing. Because when we are hearing Bhagavatam, of course, if we are hearing from some devotee, 5 times, 10 times, 15 times, the same subject matter, then naturally, somewhere, because purification is happening, a desire to follow that will come. Naturally, it comes. We all have examples of that. So, we'll read one verse from Bhagavad Gita. That's in the 13th chapter. It's just to the point of this particular discussion. It's the 13th chapter, verse 26. It says, Anyato evam ajananda sutavyanyeva upasate teyapi chititaranti eva mrityam shruti parayana. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. And this is exactly what Srila Prabhupada was telling about his disciples and us also, that how many of us are conversant in spiritual knowledge? Hardly any one of us, maybe some. But we begin to worship the Supreme Lord by hearing about Him from others. And because if we have that tendency that, okay, I would like to hear, but I would only hear from authoritative sources, we also can transcend the path of birth and death. So let's read the purport. It's one paragraph, but it's very nice purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society, that is us, because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in modern world, gave great stress to hearing, because if the common man simply hears from authoritative sources, he can progress. Especially, according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized source and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya has said that in this age, no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become the servant of those who are in knowledge of the Supreme Lord. If one is fortunate enough to take shelter of pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization and follow in his footsteps, one will be gradually elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended and it is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosopher, faithful hearing from authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back home, back to God. So that's our hope. It's such a purport, if you see, it just establishes this principle very, very clearly. So, in the purport, continuing from this very important message of developing attachment to hear constantly, Lord Chaitanya starts to speak about when we can increase our propensity from devotional service by hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from realized soul. The more we hear from realized soul, the more we become advanced, and the more we become advanced, the more we will develop detachment from this material world. And the more we become detached, as advised by Lord Chaitanya, we will increase our attachment for Supreme Lord. So that's the progression. Attachment to hearing means advancement in spiritual life. Advancement in spiritual life means detachment from material world. Detachment from material world on the basis of hearing from authoritative sources means attachment to Krishna. And then Lord, there is a nice verse Prabhupada gives in the purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita 11. Madhya 11.8. The translation I will read. The Lord says, he is telling, if this is not considered properly, then the whole progression can be spoiled. He says, greatly lamenting, the Lord then informed Sarvam Bhattacharya, speaking to Sarvam Bhattacharya. So this is a verse, comes in context when everyone is trying to influence Lord Chaitanya to give his audience to Prataparudra Maharaj, to meet Prataparudra Maharaj. And Lord Chaitanya is telling, I will not wait him because he is a king. He is a materialist. I will not come in contact with a materialist. I am a sannyasi. And then Lord Chaitanya is educating Sarvam Bhattacharya that why he should not push him. So Lord says, alas, for a person who is seriously desiring to cross the material ocean and engage in transcendental loving service of the Lord without material motives, seeing a materialist engaged in sense gratification or seeing a woman who is similarly interested is more abominable than drinking poison willingly. So whether it's a man or a woman, if they are very much materially engrossed, Lord Chaitanya is saying, as a sannyasi, as a renunciant, him meeting them would reverse the progression, which is, when we hear from authorities, we become advanced. When we become advanced, we become detached from material lifestyle, and when that happens, then we develop attachment for Krishna. But if our association around us or our attachment or our investment is towards materialists or people who are encouraging materialism to us, then it starts to reverse. So that's one way. So, I'll end up with a story. It's a real story, it happened a few years back in San Diego, USA. There was a devotee, he was just a Sunday feast devotee, power of hearing and association, amazing. So that devotee would just come on Sundays, he was on Supakash. He would come on, no one took him seriously because he was just visiting on Sunday feast. So many people come here also. Never showed very specific enthusiasm to participate in temple activities. So one day he was very sick. He was into coma.
So family members
requested that time Badrinath Prabhu, now his taken sannyas, Badrinath Maharaj, to come and spend some time with that person in coma. So Badrinath Maharaj, he went to the hospital, and for many days he would just sit with that devotee and he would read and chant to that devotee who is in coma. So doctors had told Badrinath Maharaj and his family members that he has already touched and gone death 4 times. So he's almost died and then he would come back, almost died like 4 times he went through that cycle. So then Badrinath Maharaj was reading, and then one day Badrinath Maharaj gets a call that quickly come to the temple, he's out of coma and he only wants to speak to you and no one else. So Maharaj rushed to the hospital, and then this Mr. Prakash was there, and he said, 4 times they came, 4 times they came. So the relatives are telling, yeah, we came few times. He said, no, not you, 4 times they came, 4 times they came. So the hospital doctors also said, yes, 4 times you were clinically dead and then you revived in a few seconds. He said, no. Then Badrinath Maharaj, he quickly did something, what is trying to say? So he went closer to him and he said, are you talking about Vishnu Dutas came? He said, no, the bad guys came. He said, oh, Yamadutas came. He said, yeah, first time they came and they said, it's time for you to go. Death is here. Yamadutas are messengers of death. So they came to take the soul. So now this person, this Prakash, who is in coma, he said, I told them, you can take me if you want, but I am just dependent on Krishna. So they left. Then again they came. He said, if you wish to take me, you can take, but I just dependent on Krishna. And they left. And then third time they came, he said, I have no control over my body. I am just depending on Lord Krishna. You can take me if you want. And they left. He said, when the fourth time they came, that time they came, but the good guys also came. Vishnu Dutas also came. And seeing Vishnu Dutas, seeing the messengers of Lord, these messengers of death, they said, and he's hearing it all and he's watching it, he said, now we have no jurisdiction, we have to leave. And when they left, he came out of coma. And he called Badrinath Maharaj close to him. He said, enough of time wasted. Now I'm very serious. I don't want 99% seriousness. I'll be 100% serious from now on. And in words of Badrinath Maharaj, he says later that he became one of the most enthusiastic devotees after coming out of coma in the temple, seeing around. So, what happened? What was he doing on Sunday feast? Kirtan, some lecture, and prasad. 3 things. And in the coma, Maharaj went and just read to him, chanted to him, and what happened? The messengers of the Supreme Lord had to come to protect him. They came to protect him. In 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Yamadutam, that Ajamil's pastime is there, where a similar thing happens and Yamadutas are checked by Vishnu Dutas, there it says that the Vishnu Dutas, the messengers of the Lord, are as compassionate as Supreme Lord, and they are travelling throughout to see and protect the devotees of the Lord. They are travelling everywhere just to protect devotees of the Lord. So, very powerful process we have, which just by hearing such a difference can happen. Or to speak of putting in practice with seriousness with our heart. So I'll stop there and see if there's any questions, comments, or corrections. Yes, sir.
We talked about the importance of hearing throughout the lecture. So is it correct to conclude that audio books are more important than better books, printed books?
So the question is that we spoke a lot about hearing throughout the lecture. So is it right to conclude that audio books are more important than paper books? See, when we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we are actually associating with His mind only. With His, what He is speaking in His books. When we read into Prabhupada's books, there are many devotees who just cannot read. Who just can't read. Who just don't like reading. And then for them, this can be one way to associate with Srila Prabhupada's books, that they can hear audiobooks. But audiobooks are available now. And Srila Prabhupada's books has impacted over a few decades just by coming in contact through reading. So now technology is there, we can make use of some advancement in technology to enhance our association with Srila Prabhupada's books and his purports. But problem what happens with audio is we try to multitask. That's one of the main problems when we want to hear a lecture or we hear purposes in audio form. And that's why that's the only reason we hear audiobooks, because we want to do something else and we just want to it's just waste of my energy, and then I anyways have to do it, so just let me hear something. Sometimes we go for exercise and we go to lecture. We also know only 10-20% goes in, or we hear attentively. But at least 10-20% goes, which is good. So this is one of the issues I feel with audiobooks. But many times, you know, I've seen in our studio too, when we are having prasad or something, we just put audio lecture on, or we just put the verses on. It's nice. But that cannot replace your serious study and sit down reading. But if someone cannot do it, then audiobooks, technology is there, use it. Lectures are there, use it. Any comment on that? On audiobooks?
It's a manifestation of the spoken word on the page of the book. There's no difference.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And we see that people get a book and it affects them as effectively as if they had read. So it's a subtle form of hearing.
Yes.
So my understanding is there's no difference. So one is not better than another.
Yeah.
And the advantage of a book is that you don't need any electricity to read it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be handed around, it's easily distributed. That's why the printing press was such a revolution, because it meant that that anybody who could read could acquire knowledge. And this is why the printing press was such a revolution, because prior to that, books were handwritten and usually by the priests, the main members of society, in Europe, especially European culture, the learning was kept within an elite section of society, that we were printing a book, that the book was mastered. And we see as a result of that, people were able to learn, receive education, receive knowledge. Of course, there's also a lot of rubbish. If you look at the effect, the result is the same.
Thank you.
reading different books. Say, for example, people that I'm sure the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Swami, books are widely available. And let's say devotee is reading, say, for example, Mahabharata, the So, primarily, the reading becomes many different various books, not necessarily focused. So, it is not that it's devotional, but it would like to comment on Mahabharata.
Yes. So I was making a point. The question is, I mentioned in the lecture that sometimes devotees can read Mahabharata, Ramayana, or different books. At least they can come in contact with some hearing. So I was asking to comment on that. So my context of speaking that was that there are some devotees who just can't handle philosophy. They just don't want to. From that point of view, at least come in contact with some spiritual subject matter. But we've seen the devotees whose philosophical understanding is not clear, or who doesn't give importance to substantial books, especially Srila Prabhupada's books, and absorb to some degree at least the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, what he has given in his books, then Mahabharata and Ramayana books like that are just mere source of spiritual entertainment. So Krishna Tattva, or the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, the science of God, has to be understood by all of us. And while learning that, some may be very learned, some may be very keen on getting very much deeper into that subject matter, and some way just understand the truth and then would like to go to stories or pastimes or lighter subject matter. That's one thing. But the basic science of God, the basic knowledge about Krishna and the philosophy surrounding that must be understood by all devotees. That is coming through Srila Prabhupada's major books, which is always Darshan Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Siddhanta, Prabhupada's Leelamrita, Nectar Devotion, and other small books. Once a devotee goes through these books, then Mahabharata and Ramayana, these books, of course, can be read. But when we are hearing lectures by devotees who are speaking on Mahabharata and Ramayana, those lectures may appear very attractive, but a lot of Krishna Tattva, or the science of Krishna, comes through that lecture. So that also strengthens our philosophical understanding. So, is that good? Yes, good. Oh, one second.
Why do you say that...
What's the question? I thought you had to comment.
No, it's not a comment, it's a question. why do we say that, sometimes we sit down and we read a Bhagavad Gita and we just fall asleep? Yeah, if we're reading the newspaper, we start reading.
Yes.
Oh, this is interesting. And we read about the Tao. What's wrong with us?
Actually, you had the mic, you could have only answered. But, I gave the example of a devotee who said after 23rd of May, his reading and hearing will be very nice because elections in India will be over. Because a lot of time, a lot of heart is invested in this interesting subject matter, who said what, to whom, and what criticism happened, and what the other party said. And so, when especially with newspapers, there is a pastime in Lila, Srila Prabhupada's pastime is there, and Srila Prabhupada was reading newspaper, and he just threw the newspaper down. Oh, this is so captivating. Prabhupada said, this is, you just kept on reading and reading. He was showing to his disciples that this attracts, this absorbs attention. Because naturally, in a conditioned state, we like to hear subject matters which are just entertaining the body and mind. What is there in the news? Trying. Some books we read. Whether it's physical crimes, sexual crimes, this harassment, that problem, government changed this rule, that rule. So, and this is, these subject matters give a lot of entertainment, a lot of happiness to a conditioned mind, because it is just satisfying and strengthening the bodily concept even more. But when we are talking about spiritual subject matters, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, then at our current state, we are quite alien from that. Very, very distant reality from us. But somehow we have some enthusiasm and we pick up the book and we start to read and we see that there is such a lack of interest in subject matters of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita that as Prabhupada said that we fall asleep. No one are falling even when you are chanting in the morning. If you are doing the same talking with someone or watching a video on YouTube, you don't fall asleep. But when, while chanting, you do fall asleep. Practically every day we fall asleep. It's just because the heart is not pure and the attraction towards the message of God is not there. Another practical reason for such a behavior that when we sleep while we read Srimad Bhagavatam is that naturally we like to hear and read something which we feel has some priority or gain something out of it. So one thing is that we have some attachment or have some high taste for hearing about scripture, Srila Prabhupada's books or, and then the other problem is that we don't feel that it is a priority or it's beneficial for me. Theoretically also, we don't feel that there is some benefit that I'm going to get from reading scripture in long run. So that another also becomes a reason for someone to just go with the flow of the mind and reject and not become attentive in reading while reading. So that's my understanding. You can say something more to, you know it.
From that pastime of Prabhupada from the newspaper, I think Prabhupada also commented that the writing style is so attractive that you keep reading and reading and reading. So it's the writing delivery. It's so attractive that you can't keep it out and it drops your interest.
But if you see Srila Prabhupada's books, people have commented on his style, one of the best purports. But still we have no interest. Problem is somewhere inside. Problem is somewhere inside. We see many seriously practicing devotees. But this one thing, if they stop to hear regularly and read, you gradually see that the purpose changes, their intention, their attitude towards devotion services, so gradually just changes. This is one activity to hear and read Srila Prabhupada's books and hear the lectures. Well-situated devotees just become weaker in their devotional practices.
Okay. Yes, sir. Can you pass the mic, Krishna?
You should set this up so the cable point is...
We're conditioned. Because it's very interesting, you know, we make a decision to be a devotee. Yet, we forget that devotional practice is a cultivation. And so, it requires effort and deliberate effort. One of the qualities of a Vaishnava, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is asat sangha tyag. We give up bad association. But due to conditioning and due to habit, we fall back into from bad association. I think this is what it boils down to. And it's subtle in that we may not associate with, we may associate with devotees, but through literature and especially in this day and age, internet, and we are being given devices that are designed to distract us. Even the materialists recognize that the design of social media and multimedia and news media, it's designed to attract you, as Prabhupada mentioned. And so even though we've decided to be a devotee, our previous association still influences our behaviour, and so that covers our awareness of the need to cultivate bhakti. And so it's like an anatta. This is why the process of bhajana kriya and then anatta nivritti can be a very laborious process, because we hang on to our anattas. And we even are slaves to our anattas. We serve them. So that's why this verse is important, because it's mentioned here, muhu, right? Always, constantly. And what is it? Karma? What is it? Karmapura. Yeah, so instead of, so the ornaments of the ear should be, as recommended here, and it's right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, even, that one should constantly hear the Bhagavatam. Third, Nigamakapaturogalitam phalam. That verse also mentioned, even though it's not mentioned, it's actually not mentioned. Prabhupada talks about something else in the purport, and it's not even mentioned in the translation, but in that verse it says muhu, which means constantly, or always. Constantly relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so here also it says that the ornaments of the ears should be this constant association with topics that are uplifting. But you know, because we're conditioned to topics of the mundane realm, especially ignorance and passion, we get, because we've associated with those modes for so long, we get enthused when we come in contact with those modes. When we come in contact with the mode of goodness, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita that the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning, but like nectar in the end. Whereas activities in the mode of passion, they're enlivening in the beginning, but distressing in the end, right? So we read the news and we think, oh yeah, this is really good, look what you know, this one's doing, what that one's doing. Look what's happening in the election. For the Aussies, the election's on the 18th of May, so we'll be more focused after the 18th of May. For the Indians, it's going to be after the 23rd. Right? But because of our conditioning, you know, we become devoted because very often, and this is like the devotee that you gave the example of from Bhagavad Gita, that he was in distress because of his, you know, material activities brings to the point of distress. And then when we experience that distress often enough, and there's enough pious bhajana mukha sukriti, you know, devotional piety, then we remember, oh, I was supposed to serve Krishna. Right? And that's kind of where we've made the decision, that I'm going to be a devotee. But then we do still trend back towards being a non-devotee. So we have to be careful about that and recognize that the process of bhakti is automatic, but you've got to cultivate that. And you've got to do it. If we go back to our previous habits of bad association, effectively, and it's subtle, this kind of thing is quite subtle, then that will choke, you know, because these anattas choke the bhakti lata bij. Isn't it?
Yep.
So that's why we need to, and that's why Prabhupada instituted Bhagavatam to be heard every day. Even the Bhagavad Gita in the evening, you know, there used to be the ISKCON sandwich.
Mm.
Now we have an open sandwich. Or sometimes we only have saji and no sandwich. Or salad sandwich. With no bread. But for us, and that's why Prabhupada talks about our routine work. And our routine work is hearing and chanting, which is what's being emphasized here in this verse, that the devotees are always hearing topics related to bhaktiya, haver muhus. Always, I guess it's hearing about Krishna. Haver muhus tat bhavakarana pura gunavidanena. So we associate with the bhakti jastra and the bhakti katha, Krishna katha, we get uplifted. But because it's in the mode of goodness and it's Shuddha Sattva, and because we've associated with the modes of compassion and ignorance for so long, when we come in contact with the mode of goodness or Shuddha Sattva, it's like poison for us in the beginning. It's like, ooh, this is... And that's why, you know, the joke is go to the Bhagavatam class if you're suffering from insomnia.
The mantra for sleep is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yeah. So that's why we have to be careful. Prabhupada didn't didn't say that we shouldn't be aware of what's going on in the world. You know, we need to know what's going on. Even Prabhupada would keep abreast of what's happening in world affairs, but at the same time we can't become too absorbed in these things, otherwise we will kill our bhakti, I think. Is that fair?
Yes.
And even I'm saying this now, but I'm not averse to, you know, I'll read also, and perhaps too much, we have to be very careful because it will choke us up and we get bewildered.
I think it's a problem, man.
It's a common problem.
Yeah, well, that's why you're going to laugh.
And the ends.
You you talked about that we can't remember what we hear from the lecture. We forget very fast 5-10 minutes. So we feel sad. How come we can't remember? But at the same time, we can remember what we ate yesterday for Prashad and what we ate for Jayapataka Maharaj's feast. We remember all those things. So we should be glad and build up the strength that we remember something what we ate Prashad. I remember Prashad what I ate 4 years ago.
Yes,
we actually do remember, but the thing is that the mind is a machine, and it works in very subtle ways. We can read a book, in my experience, we read a book, but then half an hour later we can't recall exactly what it was that we read. But that doesn't mean that we've forgotten what we've read. I know I've experienced this. I've read the Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it was difficult going, and I couldn't recall it. But then in conversation a month later,
it comes out
because the mind that we have, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how we have short term and long term memory, and it goes in short term, but gradually gets processed because mine is a subtle machine.
Yeah.
That's how we can use it. So here in the Bhagavatam, you may not recall it immediately because the mind is processing it. But it will come out, especially when you need it.
Yes.
Okay, you can remember what you ate for Prashadam, but you also remember Why did they not put vowels in it that says don't remove, but why not put the O? It's cryptic. It says DNTRMVE. What's happened to English?
That day is me. I only did just to avoid didn't want to make it very long and very.
Well, why not put an O and an E and an O there?
It was purposefully made.
This is communications gone mad.
द्राक्ष भागवतम की बात की जाए।